Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end.
Hallelujah, Father, Savior, Hallelujah.
Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. We have here some solemn words. Let's pray that we will know what this is in truth, that we will know what this kingdom of God, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is like. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son. We pray and give thanks in His name for all that has been given, both spiritually, naturally, as well. Father, we are in much need spiritually. We have great blessings naturally, far above others in the world. Now we hear that others may be being taught more spiritually than ourselves in this nation, and some of the nations that have had Thy word for many years. We pray, Father, that we may not be cast away, as some already were cast away and set aside, bringing in the Gentiles of whom we are a part. And we pray, Father, in the name of Christ, that we might do as, Lord Jesus, you said, strive to enter in at the strait gate, and with a warning, that many shall seek and shall not be able to enter in. We pray, Father, that we may not be left in that number, but that Thou wilt make us to strive today. And as Thou hast said over and over, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We pray, Father, that we may not be given over to a hard heart, to a proud heart, to a deceitful heart, but that we may have the new birth, that we might see Thy kingdom, first of all, ourselves outside of it, and then how to be brought to enter into that blessed kingdom. We pray also, Father, for the other needs that there are. Thou hast told us, Lord Jesus, to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness, and all these things would be added. We give thanks that we have so many things that others do not have. And we pray for those who are in need, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray, Father, for those in sickness and injury. We pray for the broken homes and the children in them. We pray for the soldiers, the police, the schools, all that are in need. We pray all these things through Christ, giving thanks in His name. Amen. As we think again of these words, kingdom, and also truth. We have been considering both. One of the scriptures that we read, the Lord Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And then He said there were some there that would not see death until they had seen His kingdom. As I said then, and I repeat, hopefully all of us listening today will enter into the kingdom, will see the kingdom rightly. Before we die, we must, or it will be forever hopeless, as we read here, when once the master of the house is risen and have shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Those who were described as saying this knew who he was in a way, Lord, Lord, but must not have considered him Lord in the right way at the right time. And that is one of the important things here. Some have used this first scripture that we read, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. As if some that are seeking won't be able, others will be. I don't believe that that is the thrust of what Christ is telling us. He's telling us to strive because it has to be done now. It has to be done earnestly. It has to be done in a striven way. And if that is not done, it will be too late. And I believe that is what he is saying here, when once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door. There are many that think, I have time. Tomorrow's a better day. It never is. I repeat what I said a moment ago in prayer. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If we can resist God's word today, it will quite often be more easy to resist another day, the next day, and especially if God would give us over to a reprobate mind. Here, the cry comes when the master closes the door. It says, when once the master has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock. Begin too late. How terrible, terrible, terrible. That can be true of many in the church that know the word, that have heard it all their life, and more are like that. I talked to three people Saturday. Talked to them about the things of the Lord, and each one said, formerly, they had gone to church, but not anymore. They also may stand there when the door is closed and say, Lord, Lord, open. Now we want to come in. I told two of them particularly, they had to go back to church. They had gone in earlier years and left it. And then on second thought, I thought, I did not tell them the most important thing. I went back and said, not only should you go back to church, but you must go to the Lord. Everyone that has left the church, evidently, is not right with the Lord. Paul said to the Galatians, where's the blessedness you spoke of? It may be a falling away. It may be that they were never more than formalists, never more than the wayside hearers, as we have in that message that Christ gave, the sower going to sow. Some falling on the wayside, the birds came and picked it up. He said, those are the wayside hearers. Satan comes and snatches it. They go about their other things. And then the shallow ground hearers springs up immediately but has no root. There are many like that. Sometimes we describe it as easy believism. Just believing, thinking now all is right, but no repentance, no digging deep. And then the thorny ground hearers, the seed sown among the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. Yes, everyday things, necessary things, good things, can overcome the word if we put them first and not the kingdom of God. Also, going back to the shallow ground, we read in one of the Gospels that speaks of that, that by and by they were offended because of the word. Often the shallow ground hearers only hear part of the word, and when other is spoken to them, they become offended. They don't want the whole word, and we must have the whole word, because only then will we know the truth. Only then will we see the kingdom of God in a right way. Oh, how much there is to that kingdom. Here we read, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you and yourselves thrust out. The Lord Jesus said, and I've quoted those words many times, but they bear repeating, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are many in the church that don't think that that pertains to them, or don't understand it in the right way. I've had it more than once. Even recently, when I mentioned that phrase to a man, he said, oh, that's Baptist. Baptist? Are they the only one that's right? Is it only for that group of people to be born again? Part of that reason, I believe, is a misinterpretation of what it means. Some will say of the Baptist, oh, they think you've got to know when you're saved. And they want to call the new birth accepting Christ, that you come to that decision. That's not really at all what it's teaching. It's teaching to be born of the Spirit and not of the will of man, not of a free will, but of a blessed Spirit. Except a man be born of the Spirit and of water, Christ says later, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In some ways, it's described as men waiting for the kingdom. And many other ways, and we'll see some of them. We saw last week the kingdom described by Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar when he said the dream was there, the image was there, a picture of kingdoms on this earth, earthly kingdoms, the head of gold, then of brass, then of silver, then a mixture of iron and clay. And the interpretation of that was the stone there that would break that image down. Father, when giving the explanation of the dream, he said, in those days of those kings shall God set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That kingdom, described as a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. The Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, born by the Spirit of God, giving her that birth of the Son of God. In one of the times we read about the kingdom, we read in Luke chapter 1, the angel coming, telling Mary that this will take place. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall be great, called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And listen to this, of his kingdom there shall be no end. It really began after Adam sinned. God telling Adam, Satan there as well, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That blessing was the kingdom of God coming through Christ, through that seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, unto David, and now to Mary. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Kingdom. When we think of it together with truth, here we have the birth of Christ. I'd like to go for a moment to later, just before the death of Christ. The morning of his death, before Pilate. Pilate said, what hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Christ speaking of the same kingdom that the angel said to Mary, of his kingdom there shall be no end. no end. He was going to die. Pilate was going to sentence him to death. But there would be no end to his kingdom. He would rise again. And here's the risen Lord. And then, Pilate says, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh, do you hear the voice of Christ today and all that he spoke? You must, to be right in that kingdom. A kingdom of truth. Truth that has a kingdom that is of no end. The truth will forever stand. Be part of it. All of us have begun with a lie. All of us have seen the kingdom of God in the wrong way. And that's why we must be born again by the Spirit of truth to see the kingdom in its right way. Last week we mentioned the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You say, how strange. Not at all. It's the truth. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Starts small, then gets larger. The birds of the air lodge in the branches. That's the word of Christ. Going on in the Gospel of Luke to chapter 4. There we read in verse 43. After the Lord Jesus was in a desert place and the people came to him, stayed with him, that he should not depart from them, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for there am I sent. There it's connected with the preaching. It was also connected in the same way as we read of the beginning of his ministry in both Matthew and Mark. One of them tells us that he preached and said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In the other gospel we read, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A kingdom. Do you want to see it? Not only can you ask God to give you his Spirit, it also comes by the birth that is given by the Word. James tells believers, of his own will begot he us. Begot he us. Same thing as being born again. Sometimes we read of those who were begotten of the Father. The name was given, begotten of so-and-so. Here, God says, of his will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Yes, that's how he begets us. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asked the question, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And further, how shall they believe without a preacher? And then further, how shall they preach except they be sent? Last week we closed the message, quoting from Paul's words to the Corinthians. Thinking later, I only quoted part of them. I should have quoted a little more. We referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. It says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require one thing, the Greeks another. And he says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. We could say today, sadly, like it was true of these here, a stumbling block in the church to many. And then, Greeks, foolishness. But the following verse, which I did not quote last week, but unto them which are called. Called. There's two kinds of call. If the word only, it will be refused. Paul said we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and much assurance to the Thessalonians. Here he's referring to that latter call, not just the call of the word, but the call of the word and the Spirit, the new birth by the Spirit and begetting us by the Word with it. The Spirit opening our hearts. The Spirit leading into all truth. The Spirit convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit taking the things of Christ and showing them to us. The Spirit leading into all truth, and oh, how we need that today. In the church, we had all truth. We'd be all alike, believing the truth, seeing the kingdom of God together, what it is today, what it was in the past, what it will be for the future, and what it will be for eternity. Oh, how we need it. Yes, we need it. Listen again. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Both power and wisdom. Christ had both. Christ had all of it. And we need it from Him. He must be made unto us this. As we read the latter part of that same chapter, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is the blessings of the kingdom of God. I would also like to read from Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. He had just talked about a centurion who had a sick servant and wanted Christ to come and heal him. And Christ said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only to my servant, and he shall be healed. For I'm a man of authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. Another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And then Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There we have Christ speaking the same thing that we read in the beginning, recorded in Luke chapter 13, and here included with it, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. There is a kingdom in form only. There's a kingdom in privilege, but not power. And we need the power of God. We need it to save sinners. We needed to have the church revived, the power of Christ. Oh, pray for it, seek for it, ask for it, in the name of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Pray.